Hello and welcome to the Women's Hour. I'm Kelly Pyle, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. Today's show features articles from both the March 4th and the March 11th issues of People Magazine and Women's Health March 2024. I'll be sharing a variety of articles, including the inspiring story of women changing the world, living in the age of Ozempic, and our father's complicated legacy. Women changing the world. These innovators, activists, and role models are making a big difference in their communities and beyond. Katy Perry and Angela Lurch, empowering kids from underserved communities through the arts. She is one of the best-selling musicians of all time, but Katy Perry has always dreamed of leaving a legacy beyond her number one hits. In 2018, the pop star and American Idol judge, 39, launched the Firework Foundation, which hosts annual summer sleepaway camps and partners with the Boys and Girls Clubs of America year-round, with her older sister, Angela Lurch, 41. The arts gave me such a different perspective than the one I grew up in. It expanded my mind and gave me confidence, says Perry, who was raised by strict Pentecostal parents in Santa Barbara. Growing up, their family struggled financially. "We relate to these kids so much," says Lurch, who serves as president of the foundation. 5 years ago, they welcomed the first group of middle schoolers to Camp Firework, where kids from underserved areas surrounding Santa Barbara participate in songwriting sessions, shoe design workshops, and choreography classes. "I'm up with them in the morning, and they're throwing whipped cream on me in the evening," says Perry. "The kids know me as the girl that sang Roar or Dark Horse, but I hope by the end they think, I too can live out my dreams like Katy Perry. She's just like me in a lot of goofy ways." Perry and Lurch encourage the kids to take what they've learned, including mental health tools like transcendental meditation, back into the real world. "We want to support these young people throughout their whole educational journey," says Perry. "I'm so grateful for my gift as a musician, but if in 100 years nobody knows Katy Perry or the song Firework, but they'll know what the Firework Foundation is, then I will have fulfilled my purpose." By Melody Chu. Their impact, 400+, the number of Camp Firework attendees to date, 40 of whom have gone on to participate in the Foundation's Leaders in Training program, which teaches skills from fashion design to filmmaking. Kaylee Rice, ending violence against Indigenous women. As Kaylee Rice was racking up wins in the boxing ring in her early 20s, the world champion heard of the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, MMIW, movement, a social campaign to bring awareness to the epidemic of violence faced by Native women. "I had a family member go missing, so it hit close to home," says Rice, who hails from Providence and is of Cape Verdean and Seekonk Wampanoag ancestry. "But a lot of times as human, we're like little kids. We need picture books. We don't want to read the words." So Rice, now 37, worked to paint a compelling picture of some stark truths: that Indigenous women are 10 times more likely to be murdered than women of other ethnicities, and that more than 4 out of 5 have experienced violence. She began advocating for MMIW at conferences, on social media, and even during fights with special insignia stitched to her trunks. "It wasn't like I set out to be an activist," she says. "I was just using my voice with the platform I had." In 2021, she saw that platform get larger with her film debut in Catch the Fair One, about a half Native American, half Cape Verdean boxer tracking her abducted younger sister. Her performance caught the eye of Jodie Foster, who suggested Rice for the role of Evangeline Navarro, an Alaskan state trooper of Inupiaq heritage on True Detective Night Country. Next, she'll play a Native woman in Wind River Rising. "I keep getting these opportunities to voice the voiceless," she says. "The stories that are going to be shared, the faces that are going to be seen, the truths that are going to be told. I'm so excited for all of it." By J.P. Mangalindan. Her impact, 14053, the executive order signed by President Biden in 2021 to improve public safety for Native Americans and address the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous people, a victory for the MMIW movement shared by advocates like Reese. Deborah Segekli, proving you're never too old or too young to be healthy. 2 months shy of her 102nd birthday, wellness pioneer Deborah Segekli is redefining what it means to live long and prosper. "The morning I turned 100, I laid in bed and said, here's this great gift. What am I supposed to be doing with it? And I couldn't think of anything special, so I just got up and kept doing my job." That job has been the one she's practiced for more than 8 decades, helping people understand that good health is within everyone's reach. It started at home. Segekli's mother was vice president of the New York Vegetarian Society and fed the family a diet of raw foods years before terms like farm-to-table and organic were commonplace. In school, nobody wanted to share my whole wheat bread and chopped nuts, so I felt myself a pariah. And then I decided I'd become a flag waver, Segekli says. She founded wellness resorts, Golden Door, and Rancho La Puerta, which she opened when she was 18 with her late husband Edmund. And she's taking her healthy message wide ever since, championing for school lunch programs to serve more nutritious, plant-forward meals, and working with Congress on initiatives to educate children on health and fitness. "Anyone can have a healthy routine," says Segekli. "You don't need fancy equipment, only a little motivation to make yourself a priority every day." Her secret is simplicity. Eat fresh foods, move your body, sleep well, and form strong relationships. Segekli still walks an hour every day. "My dog demands it," she jokes. Relishes a pescatarian diet, attends the theater, and regularly gives lectures at Rancho on holistic living. "If you do all these things, you can be my age, still active and having fun." And I am having lots of fun. By Sonal Dutt. Her impact, 2022, the year the American flag was raised above the U.S. Capitol to celebrate Segekli and her work creating a better, healthier, and more peaceful world. Helen Cristoni and Emma Hemming Willis, encouraging women to make time for brain health. Emma Hemming Willis first experienced brain fog after the birth of her youngest daughter, Evelyn, 9 in 2014. Her doctor dismissed it as mommy brain. Unconvinced, the entrepreneur and model, who also shares daughter Mabel, 11, with her husband, actor Bruce Willis, sought out a specialist. "I'd never heard the term brain health before," she says. The fog lifted thanks to fistfuls of daily supplements and healthy lifestyle tweaks, but she was stunned by how little brain health was considered in everyday life. "My doctor will talk to me about my breast health, my cholesterol, my heart, but not about my brain." So in 2020, Hemming Willis, 47, alongside business partner Helen Christoni, 53, co-founded Make Time, a wellness brand and movement to raise awareness of the importance of brain health, particularly for women. The cause has become deeply personal. Hemming Willis and family revealed in February 2023 that Bruce had been diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia, FTD. Christoni lost both her grandmother and her mother-in-law to dementia and her daughter to mental health issues. "All families are affected by this," says Christoni. "We found ourselves in this position with this mission. Your purpose finds you." Making time, Christoni points out, can be as simple as a quickie adventure. The pair recently tried yoga with baby goats, or making plans with a friend. As a caregiver herself, Hemming Willis has learned the value of recharging and the comfort in shared experience. Part of the proceeds from Make Time's line, including multivitamins and supplements, benefits Hilarity for Charity, a nonprofit dedicated to caring for families affected by Alzheimer's. "I've been able to lean in on this new community I find myself in. So giving back to people who are on this journey as care partners has been super meaningful," Hemming Willis says. "Community is everything." By Elizabeth Leonard. Jordan Risa Santos and Lainey Crowell. Using the power of books to advance women's rights. When Lainey Crowell, CEO and founder of the clean beauty brand Sai, was considering the next steps of the Every Body campaign, an initiative she launched in October 2022 to mobilize other brands to support reproductive justice, she thought of Jordan Risa Santos. The two had been internet friends for years, and she was intrigued by Santos' Scene Library, which hosts pop-up book events, mostly in Los Angeles, to help people connect and have meaningful conversations. While Everybody had been largely internet-based, Crowell, 42, was ready for a real-life component. "It felt like incredible synergy," she says. "Education is a huge part of justice, and books are getting banned now." Together, they created the Everybody Library, a collection of books about women's rights and experiences, including some, like Forever by Judy Blume and Alice Walker's The Color Purple, that have been removed from shelves by state legislatures leaders. At their first pop-up in New York City in February, titles were wrapped in cream-colored paper, symbolically encouraging attendees not to judge a book by its cover. 100% of the proceeds from book sales at the week-long event benefited Sister Song, a national organization devoted to helping marginalized communities get access to health care, including contraception, sex education, prenatal care, domestic violence assistance, and more. "These topics are stigmatized," says Santos, 32. We're trying to support a deeper understanding. Adds Crowell, human rights are being stripped away. When that happens, you end up with a lot of very passionate people who want to create change. We're putting our stake in the ground. By Wendy Grossman Cantor. Their impact, $300,000. That's the amount the Everybody campaign, with help from 60-plus brand sponsors, is targeting to raise for Sister Song to support access to women's health care. This has been Women Changing the World from People Magazine. Angela Bassett's Power of Positivity. The Star opens up about her hard-won path to success, her 26-year marriage with Courtney B. Vance, and getting ready for her twins to leave the nest. By Andrea Mandel, this is a People Magazine exclusive. In the middle of a recent deluge, Angela Bassett found herself with a rare day off. Cozy at home in Los Angeles, she decided to cook dinner for Bronwyn and Slater, her 18-year-old twins she shares with husband Courtney B. Vance. It was just like cats and dogs raining here, she says. I made dinner, and they're like, oh, Mom, we love when you cook. Bassett, 65, took in the compliment, then felt her mom guilt rising like the tide. I said, oh gosh, I feel so bad. And they were like, Mom, stop. You're a very busy woman, she recalls. That was such grace that they offered me, because I do feel guilty about the time that I spend away. Recently, away has meant spending hour after hour in a water tank filming season 7 of the action-packed first responders drama 911, which opens with her newly married field sergeant Athena on a honeymoon cruise that gets hijacked by pirates. The reality is just being soggy and wet and cold all day, she deadpans while speaking over Zoom from her trailer. For Bassett, who was awarded an honorary Oscar in January, celebrating her powerhouse career, it has always been about the work, not the fame. The actress got her big break in 1991's Boys in the Hood, and 2 years later received her first Oscar nomination for her electric portrayal of Tina Turner in 1993's What's Love Got to Do with It. That was a real watershed moment in my life, says Bassett. Across more than 100 roles and nearly 40 years in the business, Bassett has brought Black luminaries to life, from Rosa Parks in The Rosa Parks Story to Betty Shabazz in Malcolm X and Panther, and reshaped the depiction of the female experience in films like How Stella Got Her Groove Back and Waiting to Exhale. Her commanding turn in Black Panther Wakanda Forever delivered her second Oscar nomination last year. But behind Bassett's successes, she's also an executive producer of 911 and 911 Lone Star, and has a new fantasy film, Damsel, hitting Netflix March 8th. Our long days, tough choices, and an unwillingness to accept reductive roles. With two college-bound teens at home and scant time off from shooting 911, you have to know what to say no to as well as what to say yes to, says Bassett, who often leaves her home before the sun rises and returns after dark. Some days, she says, I feel a little guilt in that, but also I hope that what will come out of this is that my kids see a mama, a woman, a Black woman achieving her dreams, having success. They'll see that hard work pay off and they'll be about that for life themselves. Bassett grew up without much money, but with a family that believed in determination. She was born in Harlem to Mother Betty, a nurse's aide, and Father Daniel, an electrician. When her sister, Danette, arrived just 10 months later, her parents struggled to make ends meet, and Bassett was sent to live with an aunt in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where she remained until she was 4. The actress remembers those years as idyllic but confusing. "I would come home and go, Mom," and she would say, "Angela, I'm not your mommy. You have a mommy." I remember my mother calling and saying, "This is Mommy," and I said, "I don't have a mommy," and I hung up. And then the next thing I remember was a knock on the door. "This is your mom. You're going to Florida." In St. Petersburg, life became a little rough, she recalls. Having split from her father, her mother raised the 2 children in a low-income apartment. When Betty retired, she only made $11,000 a year, Bassett notes. But her mother always stressed education, and after Bassett discovered theater in high school, she was accepted to the Yale School of Drama. "It's something about growing up and not having where you got to fight to get it," she says. She acknowledges her children have grown up very differently. Having a real cozy, cushy existence, you can take things for granted, and that's what I don't want for them. But yet, they can't live my life. They're going to have some different marches, different fights. Bassett met Vance at Yale, and the 2 became friends. They reconnected romantically when Bassett was 38, and within a year they were married. "I always thought I was going to get married or have a kid by 29. But by the time I got to 29, there was no partner, and the career was taking off in a way that I had worked hard for and was really happy about," she says. Ultimately, she found her one true, beautiful love in Vance, the Emmy-winning actor known for The People vs. O.J. Simpson and Lovecraft Country. "What I really loved so much about him was how supportive he is of everyone. That really opened my eyes. And I went from friend to being enamored with him in a different kind of way," she says. "His core burns pure, and he's a good, noble, and thoughtful human being." In their marriage, things always grow and change, she adds. "We can work through anything and everything." Vance, 63, says they have each other's backs. "Our phrase is, if you mess up, fess up. If you mess it up, it's okay. Say it, and it'll be done with." They've taken turns working as their kids grew up. "We were never going to have both of us gone at the same time and the nanny raising the children," says Vance, whose mother also lived with them before her death in 2017 from ALS. "As for their soon-to-be empty nest," says Bassett, "for 18 years, it has been about our kids. So it's going to be interesting how we continue to make the effort to connect," she laughs. "I don't know, we still have the dog." The word regal is often used to describe Bassett, though she insists she's not a perfectionist. "Growing up in the civil rights era," she says, "has a great deal to do with how I carry myself. We grew up hearing that you can't be as good as the white girl coming through. You got to be twice as good to get close to having the same shot." Many viewed her honorary Academy Award as long overdue, a reminder of sobering statistics around women of color at the Oscars. In 95 years, Halle Berry remains the only Black woman to have won Best Actress. In her January acceptance speech, "I tried to make that clear in a gentle to receive way," she says, while honoring trailblazers like Cicely Tyson and Ruby Dee. Vance says his wife is very shy about her accomplishments. She'll never toot her own horn. "The honorary Oscar was a wonderful night, but I flashed back to 30 years ago when they didn't call her name, and then they didn't call her name last March. This was an opportunity for her to stand up there. A lot of people saw it, but not the billion people that would see it at the Oscars. But it meant everything to her." Bassett simply says, "I make the best of where I find myself." She notes a confluence of wondrous events lately. Her twins turned 18. They've completed 26 college tours so far. Her career is stronger than ever. And an Oscar sits in her living room. The fact that it's happening all at the same time, it can be a little overwhelming unless you just breathe through it and remember to be grateful, she says, for all of it, for what you prayed for, what you worked for what you dreamed of. A personal cause. Bassett has been an advocate for heart health since her mother, who had type 2 diabetes, died in 2014 from heart disease. "Spreading the message is important," Bassett adds, "because African Americans deal with a great deal of stress just going about day-to-day living, and it impacts us tremendously." You've been listening to Angela Bassett's Power of Positivity, a People exclusive. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer broadcaster, Kelly Pyle, and this is the Women's Hour. Living in the age of Ozempic, game-changing weight management drugs are finally going mainstream. But as with any buzzy health topic, with the fascination come plenty of myths and misunderstandings. Women's Health has the expert info for determining whether one of the next-gen meds is right for you. By Corin Miller, Emily Schiffer, and Andy Breitowich. Photographs by Jaron Vink. This is from Women's Health magazine. When 28-year-old Danielle Kay gained around 50 pounds during the pandemic, she tried everything to drop the weight. Intermittent fasting, working out consistently, and focusing on a balanced diet. Nothing made a difference on the scale or in the mirror. Around the same time, Danielle's sister, who has type 1 diabetes, started taking a prescription drug called Ozempic. Perhaps you've heard of it? That has a known weight loss side effect. While the drug is FDA approved to treat type 2 diabetes, not type 1 at this point, it may help some individuals with type 1 reduce the need for insulin injections, preliminary research suggests. FYI, it's legal for a licensed provider to prescribe Ozempic off-label for type 1 diabetes or weight loss. Your doctor must judge whether off-label use is appropriate for you. Danielle noticed that her sister had shed a significant amount of weight after a year on Ozempic via self-administered injections. So she started doing her own research, diving into Reddit threads about people's experiences. And then she asked her primary care doctor about it. Since Danielle was considered obese, her doctor prescribed Ozempic off-label for her. 6 months later, Danielle was down 25 pounds. "I've struggled with binge eating in the past, and as someone who constantly thinks about food, Ozempic has made it a lot easier to identify when I'm full instead of mindlessly eating, she says. It's been really great for me. Danielle is far from alone. In a short time, the drug has garnered attention from Hollywood A-listers, social media, and doctors alike. Now, Ozempic ads are everywhere on TV. The jingle may even be stuck in your head. TikTokers try to guess which celebs are injecting themselves. Even Oprah Winfrey recently spoke out about her own experience on an unspecified weight loss medication and condemned the bullying around use of those tools. "I'm absolutely done with shaming," she said. Doctors say Ozempic's viral status has filtered into their practices too. "A lot of patients are inquiring about it," says Jitanji Srivasta, MD, medical director of Vanderbilt Obesity Medicine. Although these drugs are currently enveloped in a cloud of ethical and pop culture discussions, doctors say this shouldn't distract from the fact that it is a real medication that can help people who need it. There are legitimate and practical reasons why someone may benefit from a weight loss drug and thrive because of it, improving health outcomes and longevity. However, there are also indicators that you don't need to be using one. Before you accept that one Instagrammer's experience as fact or sound off in the group chat, read this evidence-based guide in which experts clarify when it makes sense to go on a medication like this, who is a legit candidate, what you can expect, and more. The goal? To make the conversation around this hot yet fraught topic easier, less stigmatizing, and more empowering. 1. These meds are designed for very specific groups. Let's clear up some confusion first. Ozempic, generic name semaglutide, belongs to a class of medications known as GLP-1 agonists, which also includes Trulicity, Byetta, and Saxenda. Semaglutide mimics a hormone in your body and slows down travel of food from your stomach to your gut, making you feel fuller after a meal, says Kunal Shah, MD, an assistant professor in the Division of Endocrinology at the Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson Medical Center. It stimulates insulin release in response to a meal to help people with diabetes and may make you less hungry in general. While it's specifically designed to manage blood sugar levels, patients on the medication in initial studies also lost weight. Ozempic should be prescribed under very specific circumstances, the FDA states. Technically, you should have type 2 diabetes and have already tried to manage your diabetes with diet and exercise unsuccessfully. Despite its not being FDA approved for weight loss, though, many doctors still prescribe it off-label for that purpose. Another version of the semaglutide injectable, Wegovy, is FDA approved for weight loss for those with a BMI of 30 or above. Ozempic is the same for all intents and purposes, says Dr. Shah. You may have also heard about Mounjaro, which is an additional FDA-approved drug for treating type 2 diabetes and is also prescribed off-label for weight loss. The active ingredient, tirzepatide, works similarly to that in Ozempic and Wegovy, but affects the body in slightly different ways. Newer on the tirzepatide scene is Zepbound, a co-agonist medication which mimics two key hormones, GLP-1 and GIP, that impact weight management as opposed to just one. Wegovy and Saxenda, for instance, are GLP-1 agonists only. Zepbound is by far the most powerful drug we have to date for weight management, says Spencer Nadolski Dio, medical director at Weight Watchers and an obesity and lipid specialist. It's the first coagonist medicine FDA approved for weight loss. By comparison, Wegovy reaches around 15% average weight loss for a little over a year, where Zepbound gets to 20% or more the longer it is taken. To put it plainly, you should not consider a semaglutide if you are trying to lose a few pounds or fit into pants or a dress before an event. They are for people with obesity and/or type 2 diabetes and considered a prescribed and monitored medication you would take for the foreseeable future, notes Dr. Nadolski. Consider this as well. You have to inject the medicine into your body. If that freaks you out or you have a fear of needles, this is not for you. Number two, side effects happen, but they're usually not serious. Scan a basic label on the meds and you'll see nausea, GI upset, vomiting, and reflux listed as side effects users may experience in the first few weeks until their body adjusts. But scour social media and clicky terms like Ozempic butt and Ozempic face may leave you wondering whether the drugs are worth the prick. A primer on how worried you really need to be about certain reactions. Facial and body changes. Talk about Ozempic face and butt stems from the fact that using a drug of this kind leads to rapid weight loss that has an impact both on the body and the face, says Women's Health Advisor Joshua Zeichner, MD, an associate professor of dermatology and the director of cosmetic and clinical research in dermatology at Mount Sinai Hospital. When you lose fat and muscle under the skin, these areas may sag as a result. Ozempic face is not dangerous, but if it bugs you, hydrate heavily to replenish skin suppleness and consider injectables and/or fillers if that's your jam. For perking up the booty region, strength training is clutch for maintaining muscle as you lose weight. Hair loss. The drug does not directly cause lost locks. The weight loss does. There's a form of stress-induced hair loss called telogen effluvium, and any stressor on the body, whether it's pregnancy, stress, or rapid weight loss, can cause it, says dermatologist Amy Friedman, MD, of Milburn Laser Center, who is a member of the American Academy of Dermatology. To hang on to your strands, speak with your doctor about proper nutrition, supplementation, such as Nutrafol, and meds approved for managing hair loss. Other rare medical issues. There is a chance of developing pancreatitis, inflammation of the pancreas, but the risk is low, Dr. Shaw says. It's also important to note that Ozempic has what's known as a black box warning from the FDA due to its potential to cause specific types of thyroid tumors and thyroid cancer based on rodent studies. It's a theoretical risk, Dr. Shaw says. It's been seen in rats, but not in humans. Number three, the current options are just the beginning. For weight loss meds, the future looks plentiful. There are many new studies underway, as well as newer treatments that may be introduced into the market that could change the percentage of weight loss and offer fewer side effects, as well as change dosing frequency, Dr. Nadolski says. One promising development, oral pills. Last June, the American Diabetes Association presented a study funded by Novo Nordisk the manufacturer of Ozempic and Wegovy, that showed significant weight loss for subjects taking daily semaglutide pills. There's something that feels very severe about injecting yourself weekly, says Rekha Kumar, MD, an endocrinologist and obesity medicine specialist and chief medical officer at Found. And when it comes to weight management, which is such a sensitive issue, the idea of injecting yourself to achieve weight loss carries stigma. The notion of taking a pill lowers the entry barrier, which could be a game changer because of safety, tolerability, and efficacy. The oral option may hit the market sometime this year. The evolving medical landscape is an exciting space to watch, experts agree. Most likely, we'll see more and more meds in these drug classes approved for weight management in the future. Number four, FYI, the drugs are meant to be taken indefinitely. A big misunderstanding is that you can use these meds to lose weight and then stop taking them, says Dr. Nadolsky. In truth, obesity is a chronic disease and will require long-term therapy, just like high blood pressure. This doesn't mean everyone will require medicine long-term, but most people likely will in some form. And while these drugs are effective and doctors say they're relatively safe, they are not a cure-all, says Joseph Arulandu, MD, an internal medicine physician at Northwest Medical Group, who is also board certified in obesity medicine and clinical lipidology. I tell patients that if after 6 months you have not changed the way you eat or your activity levels, you are going to gain weight back. Ozempic and Wegovy should be used in combination with diet changes or nutritional counseling, exercise, and lifestyle modifications. Lots of factors contribute to obesity, which means there is no one-size-fits-all approach, says Danielle Bilardo, MD, a preventive cardiologist in Los Angeles and co-chair of the American Society for Preventive Cardiology Nutrition Committee. Dr. Nadolsky agrees. Individualization is key, and things like resistance training and increased protein intake can help people hold on to muscle while they lose mostly fat, helping with quality of life and function. Ultimately, the interventions serve as kickstarters to eating healthily and exercising. To rely on a drug purely for weight loss is going to end in failure, says Dr. Arulandu. It has to be the drug plus lifestyle modifications. Cost conundrum. Truth. The buzzy prescriptions can run up a big bill. Some weight loss medications are covered by insurance now, and others are expected to be covered in the future, says Michael Russo, MD, a bariatric surgeon at Memorial Care Surgical Weight Loss Center. But that's not the case for all. Plus, when the medications are prescribed off-label, insurance companies won't cover the cost, according to Jamie Allen, PhD, an associate professor of pharmacology and toxicology at Michigan State University. While the sticker price varies by medication and dose, expect to pay about $1,000 per month out of pocket if you're not able to apply your insurance. Remember, the drugs are meant to be used long term, so costs can really mount. With insurance, you would generally pay anywhere from zilch to $100 monthly. The best way to know if your meds will be covered is to contact your insurance company to find out how someone qualifies for coverage for the drug. Then speak with your doctor about the parameters of your script. Each medication has certain criteria And it can be a lot to wade through. This has been Living in the Age of Ozempic from Women's Health Magazine. Brighter under eyes. Dark circles and discoloration can be tricky to treat, but there's a host of eye-opening solutions you can try. Start with these strategies by Brian Underwood from Women's Health. Number one, find the causes. Dark circles can be caused by skin discoloration or underlying blood vessels that show through. Use Dr. Rubin's pinch test to ID your culprit. Grab a tiny bit of skin and move it up, down, and to the sides. If the darkness moves too, it's hyperpigmentation. If not, visible vasculature is to blame. Number two, peep good products. Look for eye creams with retinol, vitamin C, and niacinamide to fight dark spots and build collagen so blood vessels aren't obvious. And check for caffeine too. It's a vasoconstrictor that prevents blood from pooling and causing the appearance of darkness, Dr. Rabach says. Number three, address light play. Puffiness and hollowness cast shadows, but over-the-counter hacks can help. Cool compresses and gua sha massage push out the fluid that causes bags, says Dr. Rabach. Docs can also inject filler on the top of the orbital bones under the eyes to counteract volume loss and indentations, says Dr. Rubin. Number four, opt for minimal makeup. When it comes to concealer, less is more. Dotted over the areas of discoloration only, then press it in with your fingertips or a brush, she says. If you have a shadow sitch, dab concealer just under puffiness, then blend. Lock into place with the translucent setting powder. Shield skin smartly. To address hyperpigmentation, wear sunscreen. But if you've experienced SPF-induced stinging, you know that applying it near the eyes is tricky. Dr. Rubin's solve? Use your fingers to tap on a mineral-based stick. The thicker formula will protect and stay put. Your go-to pros. Courtney Rubin, MD, dermatologist and co-founder of Fig.One Beauty. Morgan Rabach, MD, clinical assistant professor of dermatology at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. Tayaba Jaffrey, makeup artist and global beauty director at Laura Mercer. The essentials. These products are designed to add some light and give your under eyes a boost. I Do, a gentle form of vitamin A and antioxidant-rich plant oils, tackles darkness without irritating this delicate area. Fig.One Beauty Pro Retinol Eye Cream, $36, at fig-one.co. Multitasking makeup. Cover up discoloration with this crease-proof serum-infused formula, available in 22 shades. Laura Mercier Real Flawless Weightless Perfecting Concealer, $33, at lauramercier.com. This has been Brighter Under Eyes from Women's Health. James Brown's daughters, Deanna and Yama, our father's complicated legacy. The music legend's daughters look back on his barrier-breaking career and his heartbreaking history of domestic violence by Daniela Avila from People magazine. James Brown mesmerized fans with his soulful vocals for more than 5 decades, but that powerful voice could also incite fear in his family at home. His voice was a little scary to listen to sometimes, because there were times when I heard him scream, recalls Brown's pharmacist daughter, Yama Brown, 51, who, along with her radio and TV personality sister, Deanna Brown Thomas, 55, often witnessed her father hit their mother, Deidre Jenkins, when she was young. Yama was about 6 when she decided to stand up to her dad during one of his many moments of rage and attempted to pull Brown away from her mom. Those types of memories are imprinted in your brain, Yama says. That episode was the last time she saw her famous father hurt her mother. But their rocky home life left a lasting impact on her and Deanna. There was a time when I didn't like my father because of this type of behavior, Deanna says. I saw a lot of growing up, which could have damaged me for a lifetime. The sisters eventually forgave their dad, who died of congestive heart failure caused by pneumonia in 2006 at age 73, and found peace with their tumultuous childhood. To heal and grow, we give each other grace, Yama says. He was human because he was flawed. Now the sisters are revisiting Brown's complicated legacy. The new docuseries, James Brown, Say It Loud, available on demand and streaming on the A&E app and AETV.com, chronicles his life and career, from growing up in the Jim Crow era South and dropping out of school in 7th grade to become a music legend and social justice crusader. Without him, there would be no hip-hop, there would be no rap, there would be no Michael Jackson, there would be no Usher, Deanna says of her father, whose work is often credited as being a forerunner of funk music. He was also one of the first artists to release a live album, 1963's landmark Live at the Apollo. Adds Yama, he wanted to show the community what was possible, what a black man could do, and how you can overcome. He didn't have it easy. Born James Joseph Brown in Barnwell, South Carolina, he was raised by a mercurial father, Joseph, who physically abused him, and mother Susie, who abandoned Brown when he was young. Brown was working as a janitor when his R&B band, the Famous Flames, scored a hit in 1956 with Please, Please, Please. He won his first Grammy for his 1965 solo top 10, Papa's Got a Brand New Bag. And in 1968, he became a voice for social change when he released Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, which united outraged communities after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. In 1986, he became one of the first 10 artists to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, alongside Elvis Presley, Ray Charles, and the Everly Brothers. Despite his career achievements, which include 17 number one singles on Billboard's R&B chart, Brown had to deal with the racism that plagued his black peers. For him, perseverance was an important legacy to pass down to his children. Married 3 times, Brown acknowledged 9 children, but he may have fathered as many as 12. He wanted to reiterate to Deanna and I that he didn't have it easy, Yama says. I don't think he meant for it in a way to brag about where he was, but to show that it could be done and that he was living proof that it had been done. Brown's feats were also occasionally overshadowed by his personal struggles and brushes with the law, including several arrests for allegedly assaulting his 3rd wife, Adrienne Rodriguez, who died in 1996 at age 45 while recovering from cosmetic surgery, and a 1988 high-speed car chase with cops, through Georgia and South Carolina. He was carrying a gun at a public gathering and fled police while under the influence of PCP. The cops eventually arrested him, but not before hitting his truck with 17 bullets. It only would have taken one bullet to hit the gas tank, and it would have blown to pieces. He would not have made it, Deanna says of the incident, which led Brown to finally address his substance abuse issues. While he called his 3-year stint in prison an unwanted vacation, Deanna says, it was time for him to get himself together, mentally, physically. He came out stronger, better, wiser, bigger. Adds Yama, it was something that he needed to be reset. We all looked at it as a gift. Though Brown's public image emphasized unwavering pride that to some may have bordered on cockiness, he was known for his humanitarian efforts and kindness to fans. He donated toys and turkeys to the kids at an Atlanta orphanage. And Yama and Deanna say he taught them valuable lessons about the importance of humility. I remember one time so vividly. We went to Applebee's, Yama recalls. He sent his steak back at least twice. He'd get ready to eat, and then he'd get this line of people who wanted to talk to him. I said, well, y'all can wait until he's finished. He said, don't do that. These are the people that buy your records. They come to see you at shows. You've got to give them the time. Like her daughters, Jenkins, who divorced Brown in 1981, was eventually able to forgive him for the years of abuse. My dad did apologize to my mom. Not to say that that was something that just erased everything, but he had compassion in his heart, and my mom was receptive to that, says Yama. She's been able to live past all the pain and still enjoy her life. Today, Yama and Deanna are carrying on their father's legacy through the James Brown Family Foundation and James Brown Academy of Music Pupils, an after-school program they founded 12 years ago in Augusta, Georgia. They hope by sharing his story, they can encourage viewers to appreciate the strides made by a man who is deeply flawed but intensely talented. His legacy is an example to Black and Brown children. He's an example of what you can overcome in life, Yama says. His biggest thing when he died was, we all need to love more. I know his music legacy is bigger than all of that, but at the end of the day, love is what it's all about. You've been listening to Our Father's Complicated Legacy, from People Magazine. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Kelly Pyle, and this has been the Women's Hour. See you next time.